free time now that you're leaving your employment here. You'll be able to go and watch Seinfeld.
I have less free time now.
Oh, right.
Yeah, now you're going to...
It's a weird job.
You'll be longing for the good old days.
You're moving to a job where you work more hours, have more responsibility. So this is,
yikes.
This is weird.
I have to teach art.
All right, well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And for the last time,
aww,
Katie Phillips.
We need, like, a sound effect. We need, like, the crowd. Oh, we need one of those.
We'll see if I pull it.
Yeah.
I probably won't. But I assume everybody's making that at home or in their car,
right,
as they hear that news.
Collectively.
Yes, a collective sigh. Yeah.
So when this releases 5 a.m. Monday morning, we'll all worldwide just hear
that. Yeah, around 5. Around 5:02.
Yeah, we'll all just hear that The heart palpitations. Yeah.
I know. We're really sad that Katie is leaving us, not only for the podcast, but as a coworker, which we discussed last week.
We did.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did that already. So yeah.
So we're
whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. really sad for a week.
On other
good
things. We're going to get all of Katie's wisdom today.
Oh, yes. There's lots of wisdom.
Yeah.
34 intellect. Come on, guys.
Now, this will probably be... This will probably be a little bit shorter of a podcast than normal. We're all...
It's been a crazy week.
It's been a week, that's for sure.
We've got sick kids. We've got people who are leaving their jobs. Mm-hmm. We've got a sick child in the studio with us today.
Yes.
So if there's any background noise, we've got my daughter here hanging out with us with a mild low-grade fever.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a week.
It has been, yeah.
But we're plowing through. We want to make sure that we get something out every week because we know we've got a... We've got that faithful base.
We
want to keep them stirred up and happy, so that's what we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the base happy.
Yes. All right, so before we get to our main story tonight, we've got some news to look at.
Last time.
Yeah, we'll have to get a recording.
I'm not doing that.
You're not doing that?
Right, can we go back and just like edit that little clip, and then we'll just insert that?
Yeah. Sure. Katie, you have a child. Katie has an 8-year-old boy, though, so this is
okay, sorry, yes.
I was
it
once an 8-year-old boy.
Does your child play too many video games sometimes?
Not really. I mean, we have a video game system, but he's more outside than he does anything else.
Okay, sure. That's probably a good thing there. What would you do if your kid was playing too many video games?
I'd turn it off.
I'd tell him no.
Turn it off, tell him no.
Give them an alternative.
Yeah, go outside.
Okay.
That's what we always say.
Sure, sure. Here's some parents were sick of their 11-year-olds playing Grand Theft Auto all day.
Okay,
so.
Number one, 11-year-old probably should not be playing Grand Theft Auto, but okay.
Correct. Have you ever played Grand Theft
Auto?
I have. Yeah.
As like a 20-year-old, and even then I was like, I don't think I should be playing this game.
Katie, have you ever played Grand Theft Auto?
No.
Do you know what Grand Theft Auto is?
No. It probably involves stealing things.
Excellent observation.
And
really
does it involve killing people?
Yeah,
often. Yeah.
It's kind of like a gangster mob video game where you're a bad guy who's doing bad things.
Right.
Okay, great.
Yeah, stealing cars, drugs, murder.
Yes.
Yeah, inappropriate places that you might visit.
Yep.
Here's some parents that were sick of their child playing Grand Theft Auto all day, so they took their 11-year-old out to drive the car around.
Sure, because he's... playing the video games, so that means he's equipped to drive a real car. Just like when I play Mario Kart, I definitely am equipped to throw turtle shells at people out my window.
Yes, I've got a collection of turtles
I
in the passenger seat.
Are they red and green?
Obviously.
I have spray paint.
And
blue sometimes too.
So
yes.
This is funny.
The star power is the one that really...
There's no way. Shane wants so badly to back our cart so we have a basketball goal in the driveway. So we have to back our cars out so he can play basketball.
Sure.
And a couple nights ago, he comes in, runs in the house... Mom, can you come move your car? And I was like, no, I really just don't want you right now. Like, I'm being lazy. I don't feel like going outside and moving the car. He's like, he just like grabs the keys. I'm like, oh, no, I'm coming. Like, no, you don't get to move the car. But he wants to so
can
badly.
Can he reach the pedals?
I don't know. I've never tried it. It's terrifying.
He probably could, you know, maybe like just like kind of standing up.
Does
know,
he know
like,
which one's the brake and which one's
probably
the
not. I don't, we've not. I mean, I haven't. Maybe
his,
Ryan's told him.
He knows
I've
his
never
letters.
Told him.
So maybe he at least knows R&D. That would be important.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Or
but,
N would suffice.
But
I'm
let's
guessing
also
it.
Know that you are first. Don't drive forward and hit the fence in front of you. Like,
Well, don't worry. The parent has been pulled over by police officers and gotten the proper citations for letting their 11-year-old...
What is the proper citation for letting your 11-year-old drive?
There's got to be a fine.
I would hope there's jail time, personally.
Yeah.
Is like Child and Family Protective Services called in? Because I feel like this is like reckless endangerment.
And this isn't like you brought a baby in a bar from like home, like Sweet Home Alabama. This is like you are letting a child drive
right.
a vehicle on a road in which other people
so let's,
are
let's
on
ask
the road.
This question. Maybe you don't have this information.
Mm-hmm.
Was the child driving the vehicle alone or was the parent in the car?
Parent was in the car.
Was
okay.
the child alone in the driver's seat or was the child like sitting on the parent's lap? Driving the steering, holding the steering wheel.
I don't know. I don't have that information.
I mean, not that that's
that
safer.
That we do. We do let
least...
the kids back the car out of the driveway that way.
Yeah, putting back the car
yes.
out in quotes at that point.
Yes.
Sitting on my lap. Yes.
yes.
You can now stand here.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. That, I mean, that's a different. Also, not driving down the road.
No. Just back
we're not letting
the
them drive
driveway.
Down 45.
Right.
right. Yeah.
You know, it's questionable decisions all around here.
But here's
yeah.
well, okay. So you
from
know, I've
clink.
Heard stories. From people who are older in their generation that they were learning how to drive when they were 11
sure.
and 12 years old.
Sure.
Probably on country roads or
right.
like, you know,
probably
whatever.
Probably not
but.
On city streets where other people existed in the world. Yeah. And there are lots of places where, you know, kids
right.
drive earlier than
yep.
like the 16-year-old.
Right.
And, you know, when they're driving on private property or when they're driving you know, out in rural spaces, they're allowed to do those sorts of
right.
things. This is not that.
Not the same as a bike.
Yeah.
So, you
and
know,
not
like
a solution
in,
to a video game.
Sure. Well, in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom,
right.
Short round, Indiana Jones's kid sidekick drives.
Uh-huh.
He's got little blocks tied to his shoes
right.
so that he can reach the pedals.
Sure.
So, you know, that's an option for Shane if he needs to, you
there
know,
you
get him some platform shoes and
yeah.
he's good to go.
Or Shane and Shelby can, like, tag team it and Shelby can work the pedals
sure.
with their hands.
Wasn't that, that was on a movie.
And you know
that was
that
on,
movie.
Yeah.
He was also on, like, Toy Story 4.
Yep. Oh,
sure.
yeah.
yeah.
Which I just watched, yep. yeah.
I did, too.
Yeah.
Is it good? I have not seen Toy
it's
Story
cute.
4
yet.
It's cute. Yeah.
Is it as, like, emotionally a roller coaster as Toy Story 3 was? Because Toy Story 3, like, I lost my mind. It was so
you know,
distressing at the thought of my childhood burning in a garbage dump.
It's very good. I think Toy Story 1, 2, and 3 is a complete trilogy. They did not need to make Toy Story 4.
Yeah, all right.
But it's
it
has
a cute story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
To our main topic tonight, coronavirus.
We need, like, massive breaking news, like, breaking
yes.
news, coronavirus 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, the headline that we need right now. It's,
yeah.
That's, like, your go-to voice
yeah.
for announcements.
Well, yeah,
I love it.
So we mentioned at the top...
COVID-19.
At the top of the show,
indoors.
Oh my, we mentioned we've had some sickness in our individual families. My family's had some sickness.
Yeah.
Timmy's been sick, had blood work done.
Sure.
All negative.
Yeah.
Your family's been sick.
Yeah.
I've been sick. Katie, any sickness going on in the Phillips household?
Thank God, not right now. But
not
we
right
had
now.
A whole week of it in
no,
January.
You got yours.
That's true.
Shane,
or you
Shane
were convinced Shane had the coronavirus.
I thought Shane had the coronavirus. Yes.
He did not.
He did not.
Before this podcast induces mass panic, he
yeah.
did not.
Well, I mean, I was sick the other day, and I was, like, Googling, like, hey, has the coronavirus been in Houston? Because I was in a hospital with my son. Like,
sure.
Any of those kids got corona that passed? It on to me,
right?
You know, has not here
yeah,
in Houston.
Not here in Houston.
San Antonio,
yeah. yes, has been in Texas, but not here in Houston.
Yep.
But we have an article here from Christianity Today.
All right,
and this is about Martin Luther.
Hey,
yeah,
did he
we
have
know
coronavirus?
Him.
He did not have coronavirus. Yes. So the title of this article here from Christianity Today is it faithful to flee an epidemic? What Martin Luther teaches us about coronavirus.
Is it faithful to flee an epidemic? I like that.
Oh, what do you think? Is it faithful? Off the bat, do you want to answer that question?
Okay.
I know Martin Luther's position, so I'm not sure that I can answer
I read
it
this
unbiased.
Article, so I know.
You can also
I
disagree
well.
With Martin Luther. So.
I could, but I don't.
I don't either. But
in this particular instance.
When I first saw this, my immediate thought was, like, when you're on the airplane and, like, they're like, your oxygen mask, like, put your oxygen mask on yourself first, and then
right.
put your oxygen masks on your children. Or
sure.
whoever.
Or your therapy animal.
Right.
Yeah.
Or
your whatever.
Therapy horse.
Yes. So, like, I immediately went to, like,
that's
I mean...
That's on our special airline.
As long as I'm safe,
uh-huh.
right, and then
mm-hmm.
go and help others, because, I mean, what good are you if you're dead, right?
So
sure.
that was what my first thought went to.
Yeah. You know, and I am not a first responder. I'll just be clear about that. But I do think that pastors have a particular way in which we respond to crises in that same sense. But I heard a news story just this morning about in Seattle, where this is a very serious issue right now. It's becoming very serious. There's been a particular community that has been hit by this. And there are first responders who are still having to go and take calls. You know, there are firefighters and ambulance drivers who are taking picking these people up, having to take them to the hospital. There are hospital workers who are having to work with these people day and are admittedly putting themselves at risk in order to take care of these others. You know, that's a piece of their calling is to do that. And that's an incredibly faithful position to be in and an incredibly challenging position to be in. I mean, one of the firefighters was sharing stories of some of his coworkers who are going home and, like, not going into their house. They're sleeping in tents or in campers and things like that in their house, in their home's driveway, so that they're not taking whatever this is into their homes and their own families, trying to prevent some of that. So I think it is risky. But I think there are people who, it's a piece of our job to stay in the face of great risk and great danger. I think that's ultimately going to be some of Martin Luther's point, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yes, so Martin Luther did not have to face down the coronavirus.
No.
And probably
in avian flu.
Bird flu.
Swine
flu. Yeah, what other viruses have swept through?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably a lot.
Mm. Y2K?
Yeah.
It's like a computer virus, right?
Martin Luther, I'm 90% sure, did not have to deal with Y2K. I've read everything, though, so, you know.
See, he would have been alive when it turned over from, like, 1499 to 1500. Do you think there was, like, a big freak out then?
Probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Like, every generation of Christians believed the world was coming to an end, so
that's
it was
true.
Probably like,
there were plenty of people who thought the world was going to come to an end in Martin Luther's day.
So. Yeah, so he's probably, this is
I'm sure
happening.
There were, like, plagues and stuff.
And that, there were plagues and stuff.
Well,
yeah, so there, yeah, that brings us to why Martin Luther even wrote about this in general, because, like, it seemed like, you know, if it was not something that he was affected with. So the Black Plague did affect Europe, not in Martin Luther's time. This was about 200 years pre-Martin Luther. The Black Plague swept through Europe, but a plague re-emerged in Wittenberg and surrounding towns. That's where Martin Luther was based in Germany. And so he was writing about, like, well, what does this mean for us as a society now that we're dealing with this plague? How do we deal with this?
I mean, because a very common response in the face of this illness is we've got to get out of here, right?
Sure.
Especially for people living in the city, people who had the means would move. They'd leave. They say, we're not going to stay, because there was no understanding of washing your hands or of, you know, quarantine or anything. Like, there are just people who were sick and dying, and people didn't know why.
Right.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, people were dumping their poop into the streets. So, I mean, they're not exactly cleanliness.
Right. I mean, now we look at that and go, yeah, that's probably why people were dying. But they did not understand that at the time. So, yeah, people wanted to get up and leave. And so the question that... what are we singing through, her? We have my daughter singing in the background here, if you get to pick that up. But so the question that people were facing, that was a very real thing. You know, people who would be caring for these people would have been leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only people left in the towns would have been the people who couldn't afford to leave. So the poorest of the poor, or the elderly, or the children. And it would have been people who were already sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so his first point that we're going to take a look at here, those in ministry, he wrote, must remain steadfast before the peril of death. So if you have a vocational calling to serve and others, whether in the health industry or pastoral ministry, hey, that calling is there even in the face of disease and potentially death. Like, that still exists. So that's Martin Luther's first point, that if you're working in this field, whether that's vocational ministry or in healthcare, that's your job, and that's what your calling is, to be there.
And I think people know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a scary prospect.
I think especially people know that who are in it.
Right. I should say this.
Yes, for sure. I mean, the same thing. I mean, this is a totally different topic. But, like, schools now are facing scary things that come into their classroom, not just coronavirus, but, I mean, I even go as far as, like, active shooter drills.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, what are teachers there for?
Yeah.
They are there to ensure the safety of students, regardless of what is coming into a school building.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think it goes along the same lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we just went camping with our college students on Big Bend, and, you know, there's bears. And I had a bear spray, you know, that I had to take with me on these hikes. And there was hundreds of people there, so there's no bears coming out. But, you know, the kids did ask me, like, what would I do if there was a bear? And I was like, well, I'd like to think I would stand between you. Like,
right.
you know, in the midst of panic and stress, you know, anyone can do anything. But, like, as what it means to be your youth director in this situation, I believe my calling is to stand in between
mm-hmm.
you and whatever danger is there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, now I can admit for every teacher, doctor, pastor, anybody who's in those extreme situations, that might not always happen.
Right.
But that is the understanding of that is what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, and I think that's a piece of the vocational calling that Luther wants to talk about as well. I mean,
yeah,
I've talked to a number of pastors who talk about being in hurricane areas or tornado areas and things like that, and they say, yeah, I could take my family and leave. We have the means or the ability to do that, but I want to be here for my people who can't.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's an important process as well. And each of us have to kind of figure out what that looks like for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and Martin Luther would say this too, this does not mean that we need to put ourselves at unnecessary risk.
Right.
Let's bring this to our next point.
Oh, all right.
Pastor David, jumping the gun over here.
You know what they say, that, I don't know, there's something about...
Something.
I got nothing.
Yeah, so Luther does not encourage his readers to expose themselves recklessly to danger.
Right.
Okay, so all of us have the first responsibility of warding off this poison to the best of our ability in our own self because God has commanded us to care for our own bodies.
Right,
well.
So this is not a snake handler situation where you say, oh, just let the snake bite me because God's going to save me.
Yes.
Right? This is a wash your hands, take care of yourself, take care of your family so that you can take care of others,
mm-hmm.
so that you can provide care.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is not lay people running into the emergency room, just like, here we go, you know, like, I'm ready, you
right.
know, like,
yeah.
I've been called by God to care for the people around me. This is very clearly, like, your first responsibility, like Katie mentioned at the earlier, is to put the air mask on oneself to make sure you're
mm-hmm.
going to be okay as best to your ability as you're caring for other people.
Right.
And I think we have so many preventative measures, like, and protection that people can use when, not that... that it's going to keep everyone from getting coronavirus, obviously. But, like, there are gloves. They're washing your hands. You're wearing a mask.
Sure.
You're
yes.
doing everything in your power to make it as safe as possible. You're not just going in there with nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that's what our medical professionals do, is
for
making sure that they are,
yep.
to the best of their ability, protected and cared for
right.
in those things.
Right.
So when it comes to coronavirus, let me ask, are you... nervous about this? Are you scared about this as a person, as a Christian?
So I will tell you, when Shane came down with the flu in January,
yeah.
we had just gotten back off of a plane the week before.
All right, because we were asking if you were flying over mountains. Yeah.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I, for a minute, went, oh my gosh, what if this is the coronavirus? Because that's when it first, like, started
uh-huh.
breaking into the news. And I'm like, you know, but then I started to panic a little bit and, you know, called my husband who was out of town. And I'm like, he goes, does he have respiratory issues? Because that's a big part of it. Like, the flu doesn't necessarily. And I'm, so, you know, eventually I was, you know, yeah, we're good. We don't have coronavirus.
Yeah.
But I was, like, panicking at that time. And it's interesting because now I'm like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. There's nothing I can do to control that. Can
mm-hmm.
I make sure that my kids and all of us are washing our hands and doing what we can? Absolutely. But, like, I'm not at Costco buying water and
yeah.
stuff. Maybe I should be. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, one, I saw a funny thing about people talking about how they were praying for the people who run through Costco to stock up on everything but are still taking the free samples that everybody's
right.
been
yes.
all day long.
Yeah.
Thought that was funny. But, yeah, I think that's a valid point, Katie, that you know, it's easy for us sitting in the
mm-hmm.
Woodlands, Texas,
mm-hmm.
Where this is not a part of our everyday experience right now, to say, yeah, I'm not really worried about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still far away. For some people, this is a very real and present danger, right? And we want to acknowledge that, and we certainly want to remember that. But even in the face of real and present danger, I think it's valuable for us to remember that as people of faith, we believe in a God who's bigger
mm-hmm.
than the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And tragically, yes, some you know people are dying from the coronavirus, but none of those people are dying out of God's grace from the coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, if you die with the coronavirus, you're no less a child of God than you were
right.
if you die by natural
right.
cause. Well, I guess corona is natural, but if you die by other means, right? And so God continues to be present in those situations. And so I would hope that even if coronavirus were to affect our direct
mm-hmm.
community, that we would continue to treat one another and treat those who were suffering
mm-hmm.
from it and treat those who were dealing with it as the beloved children of God that
mm-hmm.
they are. And remember the ways in which God continues to be present, even in the midst of our fear and in the midst of our anxiety over this.
Right.
Because a lot of this, you know, the coronavirus is a very serious thing, but we're also, you know, in an age in which news is based on what is most exciting and most attention-grabbing.
Sure.
And so facts are not always the thing that's attention-grabbing
mm-hmm.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's rumor, it's allegations, and it's
mm-hmm.
drama, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so it's the one case of somebody who died of it rather than the 100 cases of people who are being treated with mild symptoms, right? And,
yeah.
and so it's a balance there
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah, and you know, news does that, and also people love it. You know,
yeah.
like
we want we do it. Yeah,
we want it to be a big thing. We want to feed our own future.
News gives us what we want.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So lastly, Martin Luther does say, "Well, what if a Christian still desires to flee? Is it okay? What do we think here? Is it okay in any situation?"
Martin Luther probably had some great insult for them. Is my guess. I don't know. he was really good at insulting
yeah.
people. And, yeah.
If that's the best, like, if that's what you can do, like, if that is all you can muster, like, go. I mean, because I really and truly think that there are people who will stay, and, like, that's their calling, and that's what they're going to do.
Sure.
And, but if you think it is the best thing for you and for your family to flee,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe that makes it so there's not more hysteria and more, you know, I don't know.
No, yeah, I hear that.
I think it just depends.
Yeah, I mean, we can think back to Hurricane Harvey here in our own community,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, there were people who grabbed their boats and
mm-hmm.
drove from wherever they were and
mm-hmm.
started, you know,
yep.
boating around downtown Houston trying to rescue
people,
and, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And then there are other people who said, I need to stay
yep.
home. And I think that you need to make that decision
mm-hmm.
for yourself, and you need to figure out where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a sign of greater faith to walk into danger,
sure.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a sign of your gift and a sign
mm-hmm.
in ways that you're equipped. Now, I do think that there's an element, you know, as we talked about, of a vocational calling. And if you're walking away from a vocational calling out of fear,
mm-hmm.
That might not be the most faithful path for you to take. But that does not make you any less of a child of God, any less beloved by God or anything there. It's just, you know, what is it that governs our life? Are we governed by fear, or are we governed by a God who's bigger than the boogeyman, as VeggieTales would remind
right.
us?
Yeah.
And I think, too, I mean, if you're able to flee and you have the means to do that, and then you go above and beyond and invite other people to come with you who maybe don't have the means to do
sure.
that and to get out and to allow more people safety. And,
but,
a,
and see,
and
at
a,
that point, I don't think you're fleeing.
Well, true.
You know, I think that's a different
but
scenario.
You, I mean, yeah. but other people would look at that and absolutely say you are. Do you know,
yeah.
some people might.
I think,
all I'm saying is you. There are ways to use gifts that you've been
sure.
given.
I mean, I think it's different
leaving.
if I put myself into a wagon and take off down the road versus if I load up that wagon with
sure.
you know, my friends and neighbors
absolutely.
And say, I have the ability to get us to safety.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very different scenario,
for
too.
Sure.
Yeah.
You should probably use your car.
Not your wagon?
Yeah, I don't know why I went with, like, an 1800s chuck wagon image there. But, you know, it's
rodeo?
Sure.
Trail riders?
Yeah, just
I mean,
rodeo
you know.
I mean, it'd be a lot faster.
It's really more effective. To...
All right. Yeah, Martin Luther will say, you know, that this is ultimately... People are going to come to their own devout conclusions through
yeah.
prayer, through meditation, through all these things. And that choosing to stay is... sometimes out of grace and not out of obligation, especially
mm-hmm.
if you're not in those vocational fields where you have an obligation
mm-hmm.
to uphold what you're doing. If you're not a healthcare provider, if you're not a church worker, you're a citizen of this community, what is your obligation? And Martin Luther say, well, that's up to you to decide in your own prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, again, salvation does not come whether or not you choose to stay, you choose to run, you choose to make sure your family is taken care
mm-hmm.
of. Your obligation as a parent is to keep your kids safe, or if you're going into places of hurt and disease and try to rescue, he's saying, like, salvation does not depend on either of those things.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yep.
both those things can be very, very right for
mm-hmm.
an individual in the situation. And for one person, maybe option A, if I got to protect my family, my children, right now is
mm-hmm.
the right decision, and then 3 months later, the right decision is to, I've got to go into a place where I could be potentially hurt to care for somebody else's family and somebody
mm-hmm.
else's children.
Mm-hmm.
Both those things could happen for the same person two different times,
yep.
and both be okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's hard from the outside looking in to ever say this is what you should do, because
mm-hmm.
every person in every situation will be different.
Yeah,
and I think Martin Luther acknowledged those things.
I think, you know, that's a valuable thing for us to be thinking about too now, is that you know, we're not in a place where any of us are thinking we need to flee Houston
right.
at this moment, right?
Correct.
We're not thinking we need to run away. But there are people in our communities who are at greater risk.
Yeah.
And who, if, you know, even if there were a mild outbreak of this in the Houston area, who would be much more at risk than those of us who are with healthy immune systems and at younger age. You know, particularly it seems to be affecting the elderly. We don't really know why. And so how do we, you know, watch for our elderly neighbors and those who are in our community who might not have the ability to go out to a public place or not have the comfort to go out to a public place,
mm-hmm.
feeling that they're at risk or feeling that they're at risk of infecting someone else? How do we care for our neighbors, even if we're not the first responder, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we remember our neighbors first and foremost and care for people?
Right.
Yeah. I think that gives us a good conclusion there about coronavirus and the Christian
sure.
response, the Martin Luther response from Christianity Today. It's a fascinating article on Christianity Today if you've not read it. It's
yeah.
written by a let me make sure here I get this.
By someone.
It's written by someone. By Emmy Yang, who is Korean,
hmm.
and she is writing about her own family's experiences, how back
yeah.
home who are dealing with this,
yeah.
Kind of attached to Martin Luther's response, so I think it kind of provides her a more of a direct connection to what
mm-hmm.
coronavirus is for us. Many of us potentially who are listening have an indirect connection
sure.
of like
uh-huh.
an indirect fear, but she has more of a direct fear. So I think it's a pretty fascinating article to
mm-hmm.
to read, and I recommend it. So if
yeah.
you go to,
so we'll link to that on our website this week when we put
yeah.
that out. Yeah.
All right, so Katie.
Yes.
See ya.
Yeah.
Peace.
I'll let the door hit you on your way out.
Now, I know your time here at Lord of Life as a staff member is winding
mm-hmm.
down. Do you have any last words of wisdom to our listening audience or final recommendation?
Yes. So I would like to say thank you to our listeners who have supported this. I know that this will continue to go on, but I have been happy to have been a part of it.
We've been glad to have you.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I'm sad to close this chapter, but I'm excited for the future. And I know that you guys are going to do a great job in pushing this forward. I also just encourage everyone to just each day, this podcast is called Beyond Sunday. So, like, how are we living? Ask yourself the question, how are you living into your faith each day with every person you come in contact with everything you see, with all the decisions and the actions that you are doing in the world. So that is my piece of advice or wisdom or just,
great.
Yeah, just
yeah.
take
and
it
wash
a day
your hands.
At a time and wash your hands.
That's right.
Hand washing at least for 30 seconds.
Sing happy birthday twice.
Yes, sing
told.
Happy birthday
yes.
twice.
Yep.
Yes.
Use warm water.
Yes,
yeah.
for sure.
Yep.
Soap. And lots of soap.
Yeah.
Soap is important. To
right.
see
water.
Those.
Yeah, hydrating the germs does not do
right.
nearly
nope.
as much as actually washing
nope.
them away with soap. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Katie, it's been a truly a pleasure to work with you as a partner in ministry and what we do here at Lord of Life
mm-hmm.
and as a co-host of our podcast.
Yes.
It's been such a great joy to have you be a part of these things with us. And we will definitely be missing you as you move on to, like you said, the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean Katie is out of our lives, out of our hearts. Mm-hmm. Just in a different vocational ministry.
Yes.
And so asking the questions of what does it mean to live out my Christian faith as an art teacher at an elementary school? You know, it
wash your hands.
Right. Wash your hands a lot.
That's what it means.
Right?
yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Pastor Dave and I will be back next week.
Yeah.
And we'll be processing how the podcast will look.
We'll be grieving.
Processing grieving.
We'll be processing our five stages of grief and Katie's departure. That'll be the next five episodes. We'll be one stage per week.
Sure. yeah. I can't, you know, a lot of denial.
Yeah. I'm certainly still in it. It's great.
Yeah. yeah. And so, we'll, you know, the podcast will definitely sound and look different, but it'll still be happening.
Yeah.
And so, we'll be back next week.
And I leave you with this.
oh, yes. Thanks, Katie.
Oh, hey, find us on BeyondSunday.com. And
oh, that's how you find
yeah,
us.
That's
yeah.
good. Yeah, see ya.
you got it.
I'll figure it out.
All right, bye, everybody.